Following is a reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 7, given by His Holiness Srila Satsarupa Das Goswami on January 19, 1998, in Inishroth, Ireland.
Continuing with Chaitanya Charitamrita, we've read in this chapter, Madhya, Chapter 7, the Lord's Tour of South India. And there are just a few verses left in the chapter, one episode about the Brahmin Vasudev. So it might seem that this is like an afterthought, not so important to the compared to the discussions with Kurma Brahmin, which has very famous verses in it. However, this episode must be very significant to Chaitanya Charitamrita author, Krishnadas Kaviraj, because in the first verse of the chapter, he usually writes an essence or a summary of what the chapter is about. And listen to the first verse of this chapter. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being very compassionate toward a Brahmin named Vasudev, cured him of leprosy. He transformed him into a beautiful man, satisfied with devotional service. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the glorious Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Well, there's no mention of anything else in the chapter except this little episode at the end. So it must be important. Lord Chaitanya has spoken to the Brahmin Kurma, told him to stay home and practice Krishna consciousness at home. And now he leaves, and the Brahmin follows him for a great distance, and then finally Lord Chaitanya takes care to send him home. There was also a Brahmana named Vasudeva, who was a great person, but was suffering from leprosy. Indeed, his body was filled with living worms. Although suffering from leprosy, the Brahmin Vasudev was enlightened. As soon as one worm fell from his body, he would pick it up and place it back again in the same location. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, we meet other persons who have leprosy, and usually it's a curse on that person for their sinful activities. That's generally the reason why we have any malady, some karma. So you may remember there's a Brahmin who insulted Haridas Thakur. He contacted leprosy. And there was a Brahmin who contacted, who also insulted Srivas Thakur, and he got leprosy. Now, we're not told very much about this person. There are a number of persons in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. They come very quickly and they leave the narration, and yet they stay in our minds. They're part of Lord Chaitanya's Leela in some significant way. But I can't speculate as to how this person got leprosy. But what we are told is that he was in a very good consciousness. And that's possible. That person can be suffering physically and be in good consciousness. It's more likely that when you suffer physically, you're in bad consciousness. You're lamenting about your pains and maybe even cursing God and blaming people and so on. But it says, although suffering from leprosy, he was enlightened. Just consider this activity of his compared to the frantic attempts we make to cure ourselves or prevent diseases. There's often killing germs involved. You know, let's take an antibiotic or take something to kill the creatures that are disturbing us. Even Prabhupada, he talks about the disease of worms, as he calls it, and how when you eat, you can't gain any weight because the worms eat. So you have to kill the worms, and then you become healthy. That's the way. In this life, it's jiva, jiva, sajivanam. One living being lives at the expense of another. But the human beings don't expect some little creature to be living off us. How dare they? So as soon as we find out they're trying that, we wipe them out. But this Brahmin, he saw, oh, there are worms crawling in my body. Oh, and some worm fell out. So his constitutional nature was to be on my body, eating my body. And my nature is to suffer, so why should he fall out? I put him back. That's what he did. Then one night, Vasudev heard of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's arrival. And in the morning, he came to see the Lord at the house of Korma. When the leper Vasudev came to Korma's house to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was informed that the Lord had already left. The leper then fell to the ground unconscious. When Vasudev, the leper Brahmana, was lamenting due to not being able to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord immediately returned to that spot and embraced him. Outwardly, it appears that, and it's sometimes shown this way, that Lord Chaitanya's return was something miraculous. At least in the sense that he had no reason to go back. He already said goodbye with some awkwardness. He had finally separated himself from Korma. Now he was on his own, which he liked to be. So why should he go back again? So something was in his mind to go back. And as I say, everything is told very briefly. But I get the impression that he returned very quickly. He said he came back Shani immediately. And then, aside from that, outwardly, inwardly, the fact that he came back just to tend to this person is wonderful. By all rights, he had missed the visit. And so, but Lord Chaitanya understood, being omniscient, that this person is hankering for me very intensely. He's very sorrowful that I missed Lord Chaitanya. So much so that this was creating an attraction. It's like a magnet. The devotee was attracting the Lord by his sincere desire. So even Krishna, who can't be conquered, he can be conquered by devotion. And so he came back to embrace him. Now, why did the leper want to see Lord Chaitanya? Someone might say, well, he was hoping that Lord Chaitanya would cure him. But that doesn't seem to be the case as to why he was going there. When we hear of lepers, we also may be reminded of the ministry of Jesus Christ, who also healed lepers. And those lepers, sometimes they frankly went to him just with the desire to be cured of the leprosy, or somebody brought them to him. We heard that you're a healer. Heal this man, please. And so that was the materialistic desire of the person to be healed. And Jesus was sometimes disgusted with them that they wanted all these miracles and signs. But by their faith, he would cure them as a reward for their faith that he could do this. Whereas others didn't believe in him. If the person had faith, he could cure him not only of his disease, but of his sins. So it appears that Vasudev had some kind of spiritual bhava, because he was already... his consciousness was so good already. It wasn't like he was just thinking. Because if he was putting the worms back in his body, why would he be thinking, oh, if I can see Lord Chaitanya, then I won't have leprosy anymore? It doesn't seem like that's why he wanted to see him. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu touched him, both the leprosy and his distress went to a distant place. Indeed, Vasudeva's body became very beautiful to his great happiness. So then we could ask, well, then why did Lord Chaitanya give him this kind of a benediction of good health? Again, whatever Lord Chaitanya wants to do in his leela, he can do. And sometimes he did that, not just show people the promise of the eternal world, but he can rectify things right in the here and now, too. By his influence, the son of Bhavananda Rai, Gopinath Patnaika, was saved from being killed by the government. And other persons who were in a distress here and now were relieved of that distress. So that was also, Lord Chaitanya would do that sort of thing. Not wanting to see his devotee in any kind of distress, and wanting the world to see that how he takes care of the devotees. So the Brahmin Vasudeva was astonished to behold the wonderful mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he began to recite a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam touching the Lord's lotus feet. So this was a complete, extraordinary miracle healing, that from one moment to another, with no stages of improvement or anything, this person who had very advanced leprosy suddenly was a beautiful bodied young man. So anyone who could see it would just be astounded by that touch, by that embrace. This happened, and the Brahmin, he was certainly astonished. So he now quotes Srimad Bhagavatam. Kvaham daridra papiyan kva krishna shri niketana brahma bandur iti smaham bahubhyam parirambita. He said, who am I, a sinful, poor friend of a Brahmin? And who is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full in six opulences? Nonetheless, he has embraced me with his two arms. So, see, anybody know from Srimad Bhagavatam what Brahmin was embraced by Lord Chaitanya? Yes, Sudama. It says, this purport, this verse was spoken by Sudama Brahman in Srimad Bhagavatam 10:81:16 in connection with his meeting Lord Krishna. So Sudama, he was so poorly dressed and not so clean in his body, and poor man, yet Lord Chaitanya embraced him. He also considered himself spiritually fallen, Brahma Bandhu. And so the prayer is a prayer of contrast. Look at me, so fallen, and look at Krishna, so pure and so great. So they must be very far apart. But somehow or other, he's taking me intimately. In fact, in Sudama, he says, afterwards he's thinking about it very happily, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Krishna, he embraced me. He only does that to Balaram and the goddess Fortune, Rukmini. And yet he embraced me. This is unusual in his pastimes. And the other people in the house at Dwarka, they were also astonished. So this is the mercy of the Lord on me. It reminds me of another verse where this kind of contrast between the fallen and the exalted Lord is made by Ajamil. After he was saved, he recites a verse. I am a shameless cheater who has killed his Brahminical culture. Where am I in comparison to the all-auspicious chanting of the holy name of Lord Narayan? So he wasn't embraced physically by Krishna, but he was embraced by the mercy of the holy name. And so he was thinking, the holy name has come down to save me. And there's gratitude expressed by these persons. So we also should be like that. Prabhupada says we've all come from a fallen condition, and out of all the people in the world, very few come to Krishna consciousness. Even if you think, well, I haven't come very much to Krishna consciousness, yet still, the extent to which we've come is very great compared to not knowing anything about Krishna and not practicing Krishna consciousness. It's very great mercy. So we should think like that, that this is astounding, this is wonderful, that Krishna has come to me in whatever form he's come. We said through Prabhupada, through the holy names, through the Archavigraha. These forms are very pure, and I'm so fallen, and yet I have a relationship with them. This is very wonderful. I'm very grateful. The Brahmin Vasudev continued, "Oh, my merciful Lord, such mercy is not possible for ordinary living entities. Such mercy can be found only in you. Upon seeing me, even a sinful person goes away due to my bad bodily odor. Yet you have touched me. Such is the independent behavior of the Supreme Personality of Godhead." Sanskrit is Svatantra Ishvara. The Lord, the Supreme Controller, is independent. Being meek and humble, the Brahmin Vasudev worried that he would become proud after being cured by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, we've seen that although he was, you could say, horribly situated physically, he was well situated in consciousness. Many people, for the time being, they're well situated. They have nice body, nice house, nice bank account. But to maintain that, they have a very filthy consciousness, and they're headed for bad karma. So they have to be changed. But this Brahmin, he was humble. So he must have known and been grateful for that also. He was very happy to be changed by Lord Chaitanya's mercy into a beautiful man. He had no qualms about that. He was very happy. But still, he was happy before in his spiritual consciousness. So he's very perceptive, self-reflective. And immediately he's thinking, oh, this new body, beautiful body, could be a cause of my losing that precious thing that I did have in my wretched state. At least when I was wretched, I was very humble. I made the best use of the bad bargain. Now this could turn my fortune around completely, that I could become wretched inside, go around real puffed up. And not only that I'm beautiful, but they could say, oh, you're so beautiful now, you're free of your disease. Yes, I got the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. I was embraced by Lord Chaitanya. And he could go on, nowadays, he would go on all the television shows and everything. And he could very quickly lose that humility that he had. Everyone would say, you used to be so wretched. And he would think, I wasn't wretched, actually. So this is good that he's thinking like this. And he's worrying. And of course, Lord Chaitanya knows this. To protect the Brahmin, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised him to chant the Hare Krishna mantra incessantly. By doing so, he would never become unnecessarily proud. Prabhu kahe, Lord Chaitanya said, Kabu tomara nahabe abhimana, nirantara kaha tume Krishna, Krishna nama. To be free of abhiman, or the false concept of the self, you should nirantara, without ceasing, chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. So, this is Lord Chaitanya's instruction to a particular person, how to never become proud. If you chant, you remain humble. And there is instructions of how to remain humble in chanting in the Lord Chaitanya's verse, Trinadapi Sunichena. So, that is to think of yourself lower than the straw in the street, which the leper was like that before, being very tolerant, like the tree, offering respect to others, not expecting anything to be yourself honored. In that way, in such a humble state of mind, you can always chant Hare Krishna. So, you kind of need humility in order to be able to chant, and by chanting, you gain humility both ways. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also advised Vasudeva to preach about Krishna and thus liberate living entities. As a result, Krishna would very soon accept him as his devotee. Purport. Although Vasudeva Vipra was a leper and had suffered greatly, still, after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cured him, he instructed him to preach Krishna consciousness. Indeed, the only return the Lord wanted was that Vasudeva preach the instructions of Krishna and liberate all human beings. That is the process of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Each and every member of this society was rescued from a very abominable condition. But now they are engaged in preaching the cult of Krishna consciousness. They are not only cured of the disease called materialism, but are also living a very happy life. Everyone accepts them as great devotees of Krishna, and their qualities are manifest in their very faces. If one wants to be recognized as a devotee by Krishna, he should take to preaching work, following the advice of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then one will undoubtedly attain the lotus feet of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Lord Krishna himself, without delay. So this is a kind of guru dakshin that Lord Chaitanya is asking in return for the gift that he gave Vasudeva. First he tells him to practice privately, chanting, so you'll always be humble. And although he suffered greatly, Lord Chaitanya asked him to do something, not just that you recover, but you should recover and help others. So he asked him to preach Krishna consciousness. This combination was also instructed by Ishwara Puri to Lord Chaitanya. He said you should chant Harinama Eva Kevalam, and also you should tell others about the chanting. And this is very potent for pleasing Krishna. And although it's there for everyone, Prabhupada underlines it for us, the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, the followers of Prabhupada who read these purports and who live in this society. He especially gives us this guru dakshin. You benefited, if you'll just think about it and be grateful. So the knowledge I gave you, by which you've benefited, you shouldn't just keep it to yourself. You should do as I did. I told you about it, and you benefited. So why don't you tell others who are unfortunate? Yes, they don't want to hear it, but you can still try to give it, and some few persons, will take it seriously, and everybody who you approach, they'll benefit if they hear Hare Krishna or think of Krishna. After instructing the Brahmin Vasudeva in that way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disappeared from that place. Then the two Brahmanas, Kurma and Vasudeva, embraced each other and began to cry, remembering the transcendental qualities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thus I have described how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reclaimed the leper Vasudeva and so received the name Vasudevamrita Prada. Purport. The name Vasudevamrita Prada is mentioned in the verses composed by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So Lord Chaitanya has many names, Gauranga and Gaurahari and so on. So another name is he who gave liberation or nectar to Vasudeva, the leper. And he'll always be known by that name too. Thus I end my description of the beginning of the tour of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his visiting the temple of Kurma, and his liberating the leper Brahmana Vasudeva. One who hears these pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with great faith will surely very soon attain the lotus feet of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the Shruti Phala at the end of the chapter. For being a faithful reader or hearer of the chapters of scripture, we're given some benediction at the end. This is a very good one. That we'll soon attain the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. Purport. When a person actually revives his consciousness with thoughts of Krishna by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he revives his spiritual life and becomes addicted to the service of the Lord. Only then can he act as an acharya. In other words, everyone should engage in preaching, following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this way, one will be very much appreciated by Lord Krishna and will quickly be recognized by him. Actually, a devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must engage in preaching in order to increase the followers of the Lord. By thus preaching actual Vedic knowledge all over the world, one will benefit all mankind. The verse begins, Shraddha Kari, a Leela. So anyone who hears these Leelas with Shraddha, with faith, therefore, whatever Shraddha you do have, you should not, again, not just keep it, oh, I've got some nice Shraddha. But that Shraddha is a little strength. It's a little something to be, that you can use to serve Krishna with. That I, at least I have enough faith that I could tell somebody Krishna is God, or why don't you try the chanting, or I can appear before that person so that they'll see I'm a devotee, and if they want, they can ask me something about Krishna. I have some faith, so that it should be used to tell other people about Krishna in one way or another, and there are many ways that can be done. I admit that I do not know the beginning or the end of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. However, whatever I have written, I have heard from the mouths of great personalities. O devotees, please do not consider my offenses in this regard. Your lotus feet are my only shelter. Sri Rupa Raghunatha Pada Yara Asha Chaitanya Charitamrita Kahe Krishna Dasa. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunatha, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, 7th chapter, describing the start of the Lord's tour of South India and the liberation of the Brahmin, Vasudeva. So let us discuss if there's any questions about the story of Vasudev. Tulsi Priya Prabhu?
Just on that point about being grateful, one is grateful to the spiritual master and to Krishna when he preaches Krishna consciousness. wouldn't it be that if somebody is actually grateful, he just naturally preaches? On one hand, he would naturally preach, but then on the other side, like a devotee, he may just come to the movement and a few months after that he goes out distributing books. Based on gratitude, but he may not have developed the type of gratitude that maybe a more advanced devotee would have developed. From the gratitude of a more advanced devotee, his seems to be more of a flow of preaching. So what I'm trying to ask is how is there a possibility that say a younger devotee, he could he could be trying to preach more than he's actually grateful.
Yeah, there's all kinds of excesses like fanaticism. Prabhupada says fanaticism is a sentiment without philosophy. So, or you could say another excess is like you describe, a person who he has some initial charge or feeling of gratitude and other motives also. He wants to preach. He may be preaching with mixed motives, wanting to be approved by the other members. But it's such a good thing to do, to preach, that he's also qualified, even in the beginning, to do some simple kind of preaching. And Prabhupada used to move people along quickly. So, although he wouldn't force them in his personal sending people out, but so one answer would be to the kind of danger you suggest could happen, that the older devotee who would be guiding the younger devotee should see how he's preaching, how he's doing, so that he's not, as you say, preaching beyond his realization of gratitude. One way to do it is to keep instructing him, not just say, now you go out and preach and you don't get any more shiksha, but he should keep instructing him so that he'll become more and more grateful to what a wonderful thing Krishna consciousness is. He can hear about Krishna and then go and preach and then hear more about Krishna, and his convictions grow along with his being nurtured by chanting and hearing and getting instruction. And then his guides, older guides, who have more experience in preaching and in the dangers for neophytes, they can guide him in different ways so that he doesn't... I remember some neophyte devotee wanted to go preach, I forget, to some materialist, whether it was his parents or going to preach to people of another religion to convert them. And Prabhupada said, you don't go now or else you'll be converted. They won't be converted. You will be converted by them. Now I'm Krishna conscious. I'll go tell all my family members that they should stop eating meat. They should become devotees. I'll go see my old priest or whatever. And then he comes back and he's been converted by them. So that he was, his depth was not there, although he thought he was going to go out and preach. So these things could be watched. He could be given enough preaching to strengthen him and as could be useful to the preaching mission, but not a mission for him that wasn't good for him. Did you have some idea further in mind yourself about that? How to prevent that? I guess you're underlining the fact that it takes qualification for preaching and that we grow more and more in qualification for preaching. But the one thing that a newcomer often does have is he has some enthusiasm. And you say a senior devotee is one thing, but just because a devotee is older doesn't mean he's got still, that each year he gets more and more enthusiasm. Another phenomenon is that it wanes, and then he has the young person has good enthusiasm and good energy, which can be used, but he has to be guided. It shouldn't be misused that, oh, this youngster, he's submissive and he's energetic, so I'll give him all kinds of tasks that I wouldn't do myself. Ask him to collect a lot of money or distribute a lot of books and just hype him up. And that would be the exploitation of the so-called senior devotee. But if the senior devotee really is growing in his desire to preach, then he's preaching, and the newcomer will also be preaching together. But there's no escaping the fact that Prabhupada thinks we should preach. It's just a matter of how we do it when we begin, and we're in the middle, and when we're in the end of Krishna consciousness. We may preach in different ways, but we shouldn't give up that spirit. It's very pleasing to Krishna. And as you say, it really should. It'll dry up, otherwise you can't keep it up, unless it really flows from this source of gratefulness spontaneously, that I was given this wonderful thing, I was saved, and then it just occurs to me, oh, then I should help others too. And that's what my spiritual master wants, and he'll be pleased, and Krishna will be pleased with me. Yes.
As a thing of reaction was that to him, or was that a better to him? I'm usually not sure, not become proud. And then Roger kind of told him to chant always, and you know, he probably did that. Whereas, I was thinking for, say for myself, that even if I do a little something in Krishna consciousness, I immediately become proud, or I completely forget my position. And I was thinking how then I tried to act in Krishna consciousness, because to act in Krishna consciousness you need a full flow of mercy coming from Vajitani. And although we're told how to remain Krishna consciousness in the, you know, in the aspiring stages of devotional service, we don't, and we're not on that position all the time, or most of the time. So but we still try to perform some sort of service, but it's mixed. So I was wondering, what is that mix? What is the reactions? Is the reactions to that type of mixed service, like we perform the worship service, but it's a lot of false ego involved? Or do we get a reaction to performing service in that way, or
reaction? It's not that the devotional service produces a karmic reaction, but the mixed service, we won't advance very quickly. It'll be slow, like any mixture. So the progress will be slowed down. A little progress and a little regression, or anything like that. Some dedication to something, and then some distraction from the goal. You can't really do it very well. So that's the reaction. If you get some early idea that you want to be a musician, and then you meet a teacher and he says you should always practice, and you say, oh, all right, and then you start to practice, and then you start doing a dozen other things, then he comes and sees you again. So did you practice? Well, I did. I forgot. I did a little bit. And they say this person is just playing around like a hobby. He's not very dedicated. Whereas another person, like you said, Vasudeva, no doubt took it literally. Lord Chaitanya actually gave him a very heavy instruction that you want to be humble, then you should always chant Nirantara. So if you follow the instruction actually, then there won't be a reaction like karmic, but the result, let's say, will be that you'll make great advancement. And the result of mixture is slow advancement, prakriti bhakta. Stay on the lower stages of devotional service for a long time. Whereas we should be interested in making as much advancement as possible in this lifetime with the hope that we can go back to Godhead. If not, we have to come back again in Kali Yuga and take up again. But then how many lifetimes mixture, and going slow and not taking the instructions seriously? That will be the result. So to some degree, like we're all living with that. But Prabhupada has given us many instructions, not just one sutra to chant always, but he's given us instructions how, according to our psychophysical nature, we can. And Krishna has given us instructions like that too in Bhagavad Gita. If you can't do this, then do this. Aware of our not being able to immediately take the topmost. Like Krishna says, always think of me spontaneously and you'll come to me. So, you know, in front of Krishna, you don't want to say, I can't do it, or that's too much. And you might just bow your head and then think, I can't do that. But Krishna says, I know, if you can't do that, then do this. Then follow the rules and regulations. So it's realistic, and he's aware, and he gives us something to gradually. So we should try to not take the lowest possible thing, but take what's real for us that we can actually do and do it wholeheartedly. Converting the mixture more and more into pure Krishna consciousness. Another way to look at mixture is that the things that are material in me, I can learn more and more how to either use them in Krishna's service or gradually not follow them up anymore, those material desires. So the mixture starts to get more and more, more percentage of pure as you dovetail more and more things of your desires and activities in Krishna's service and finally drop off things that aren't, so that you become not instantly pure, but more and more pure. Be progressive anyway. There's also a mixture comes to mind that the Paramahamsa is compared to a swan, that while we're in this material world, there's a mixture of material and spiritual. But the spiritualist, he's able to draw out the spiritual from this reality of mixture. Like the swan can draw milk substance out of a mixture of milk and water. So any mixed situation we see ourselves in, we should try to draw out the spiritual lesson and the spiritual service that we can do in it. Even if we seem to be stuck with a mixture now. Who could be more stuck with a bad situation than Vasudev? But he was already making the best of it. And that's one reason that Lord Chaitanya came to it. He didn't come to some ingrate who was cursing God. But he was making such a good situation out of his bad situation. You could say his situation didn't even appear mixed. It was all bad. So we meet the pure devotee, or we meet the Krishna consciousness movement. We get some initial relief, and then we're given the ideal instructions and the goal, and we just have to work toward it. And seeing that I'm crippled, I should pray to Krishna that I can't seem to improve by my own. Please help me to serve you. And I noted that intensity of Vasudeva's feeling that attracted Krishna. If you note this within yourself that, pure devotional service is beyond me, I can't perform it, that means I'll probably go slowly. Oh, well, doesn't matter. I'll live a materialistic life. I can't attain Krishna consciousness. I can't meet Lord Chaitanya. But Vasudeva, when he couldn't meet Lord Chaitanya, which he might have taken is due to my disqualification. I wanted to see him, but a devotee thinks like that. Oh, I wasn't qualified to see Lord Chaitanya, so he already left. How sinful I am. But then he felt such intensity of separation that he won over Krishna. So we should feel regret or yearning about getting out of our merely mixed, slow position. A beautiful story with many lessons in it, even though we can't just imitate it. Rishani. Yeah. Yeah, it can be practiced. Like you say, things can be practiced. And when a devotee asked Prabhupada about it, similar quality, sincerity, how can you be sincere? He was saying, sincerity is everything. The devotee said, how can you be sincere? He said, how do you be a thief? And the devotee said, by practicing? Yes, he said. So, say somebody was inclined to be a thief, and he was sitting around with some thieves, and hearing about this daring activity where you make a lot of money quick. So if he naively said, how do you become like that? He'd say, come along with us, Junior. Tonight we're going on a heist. So he might say, I don't know about that, if I want to go. But if he really had some inclination, he could practice. And they could laugh. You don't just sit around and talk about it. You just go out and do it. So there is a practice for a non-thief to suddenly be thieving. Uh, So these other qualities. So humility can be practiced in different ways, but by the way, Prabhupada, when he uses that word practical, he usually means that he has personal experience of the thing he's talking about. Or you could take it that actual experience is what is practical. So you could gain some experience in humility in different ways by not allowing yourself to accept privileges, taking a humble position. As you say, these could be quickly, they could quickly disappear if it gets too hard. Well, I can't be that humble. But if you want to practice, you can at least not put yourself in positions that would contaminate you so much by pride. If you think you're prone to pride, which he did, he thought he was prone to pride. So don't put yourself in positions that will bring that about. And the same instruction that Lord Chaitanya gave him, always chant Hare Krishna is the best one. So even if you can't feel yourself getting humble, it's the recommended practice. Because humble is close to tolerance, being tolerant. And so I'm chanting, and there's so many obstacles from the mind and from other things, but I go on chanting, so I'm humble in the face of not advancing, not being recognized, not being appreciated. Being satisfied with these things. So you can remind yourself, well, you want to practice humility, don't you? Isn't that the gem of Vaishnavism? So then why are you demanding in this situation? Why don't you practice some humility? This is a chance to practice humility. Remember that story of Prabhupada on the airplane and with his secretary, Pusta Krishna, and the people were disturbing him. Or disturbing Pusta Krishna, he thought they were disturbing Prabhupada, and twice he asked the stewardess to tell them to quiet down and stop smoking. And then Prabhupada told the servant, can't you tolerate it? If we can't tolerate, then how are we different from them? So that was he was asking him to practice. Let's practice it now. Even though it may not naturally come to us. If it's a good thing, why don't we practice it? So I think there are different occasions that you can be alert to where it wouldn't be something artificial, some false martyrdom, some just like you say, another false ego trip in the name of humility. But if you can spot some genuine opportunity to just be peaceful when you're not given some situation that you might want and just accept whatever is there in humility, then you can practice it. And if you don't understand how chanting as much as possible is connected to humility, you should just do it anyway, because it's recommended as having a good connection. When you go to a doctor and he says, this is what you should do, you may not know exactly why by doing that you'll get better, but you accept it because he has so much experience. So the experienced teachers say that a certain kind of chanting Hare Krishna is a way to become humble. So practice chanting. Anyone else? One more? Shimananda.
When you actually practice being humble, is it just the case of trying to say, I have to be humble, I have to be humble, which doesn't seem to work. You try it like that. But I was thinking recently, is it like that because what we hear from Prabhupada about humility, that if we remember something actually Prabhupada said, a verse, a line, or a sloka, because of that, it's coming from Prabhupada, like everything we remember is empowered the pure body's potency, that actually, if you just remember something, actually meant to remember Trinadapi Aishabiham, and actually it can be quite instantaneous, but we have to actually kind of, it's a case of actually calling a piece of something that we've heard, something in mind.
Yeah. The words of the spiritual master and the pure devotees in the Shastra, they're enriched or saturated with vijnana, with realization, not just jnana. So if you hear about, say you hear about a humble person like Vasudev or some other, like Haridas Thakur, or you read about the humility of Sanatana Goswami, or you read some teachings about the importance of humility, you can get vijnana immediately, not just, oh, this is some theory about practice, it's got nothing to do, some theory about humility, it's got nothing to do with practice. But that's a first-class practice, is shravanam, hearing. So you've made a good point there, that if we can really hear the shastras, rather than think of some independent idea of how to be humble, or put my mind into some humble state, the Shastra can purify me. Shrinvatan Svakatara Krishna Punya Shravani. Or hearing about not only hearing about a humble person, but hearing about the great person, the greatest person, Krishna, that makes me humble. Who am I? And what is Lord Krishna? So, he's so great, I'm so small. So hearing is itself a very good action or a very good practice. And we're fortunate that we don't have to concoct different paths to attain these qualities. Well, it might work, but it's not guaranteed the way this other is guaranteed. All right, I'll stop. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.